All right, let's see if we are live here. Let's see if this is working. Guys,
oh, there it is.
We got the sound. Let's make sure that we can still hear. Okay, cool. All right. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you are listening to The Night Hour.
Sunday.
Hello, guys. We're back. I hope you didn't forget about us. Don't you? Forget about me.
Even though it's been a minute or two.
Well, you know, we had a couple weeks where we couldn't meet up with Jimmy and the gang. So it's fine. There was like
summer,
family gets in the way,
hiatus,
family happens,
you know,
friends happen, which was nice
family.
Because I was able to, you know, continue my
wedding.
My wedding. So I was able to continue my DJ stuff and my, you know, seeing family and friends, which was really nice, especially friends I haven't seen in like a year, maybe 3 years, actually. Shout out to Yana Atim. I'm glad you're home safe and your kitties are found and you're doing good. They were actually performing for the first annual Uptown Rhythm Festival last Saturday.
Yeah, very cool. Shout out to that.
Show.
Yeah, way to go.
Yeah, awesome. So I definitely would like to actually talk to like the people who were kind of like coordinating it, and they accept anyone. You have to be from Uptown Chicago. You can just be from anywhere. And I think one thing I have, I guess, with it, my issue as far as visual, if you guys have never been to Montrose Beach, it's like kind of near Montrose Beach on the park area. And there's this really cool tree. Like you kind of have to bend down to like towards like Simmons. It's like kind of on the edge of like Uptown, right? So there's this tree, this really beautiful tree. And then they kind of set up the stage there and they had the sound people, which was great. They had a tent for the talent, which was awesome. So they could stay cool.
Yeah, very
and like,
cool.
And then they didn't have food or drink, so people could bring in their foods or snacks, which is great because everyone has food, you know.
Snooks, bring them in.
And everyone there looked like hippies as fuck. Like hippies, you know, beatniks, like all the like, right? It was really, 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 it was very safe. It was a very safe space. And then, you know, we were loud enough that people started kind of walking up. Because everyone's at the beach, right?
Oh, who doesn't love live music and good shows and good
vibes?
The
only thing I think they should have done was that they should have put lights on as soon as it started to get dark. Because one of the entertainers was really dark skinned black. And you couldn't really see him because it gets so dark. And, you know, and his voice was beautiful. But they should do like a spotlight and maybe do projectors.
Well, next year.
I mean, I would love to be able to coordinate that. I don't think they should do any work. It was a suggestion and I told the coordinator, she thought it was a great idea. She's like, even twinkle lights. Cause I said, it ties like the area together.
I mean, even look
and
at
they
some
had the
of
drum
the,
circle. Remember
yeah,
they
I
had
mean,
the
there's...
drum circle at the end and it was the drum circle that does full moon jam.
Yeah.
So they're already like doing that. They have the guy that was there. That's part of the drum circle. That's his drum circle. So he says his favorite thing about doing the full moon jams is that, not only do you have people that are showing up because they go, but you have people that are just showing up because they hear sounds. They hear it, you know? So congrats to you guys. I hope we keep doing that because that would be fucking awesome. Yana actually performed to one of my old tracks that I curated back in 2019. And it was just a blessing. I think they have really given me more value to my curation part of music because I feel like I don't ever really mold into what I'm doing. I just do it because I want to do it. And I love doing it. And I'm lucky enough to be able to be talented enough to do it, which is great. My parents
break
never,
the chains and keep on changing.
My parents never said, "Oh, you can do anything." They say you can just do what you're good at. Just do what you're good at and stick with that. Don't they never said you can do everything? Because it's like, no, you can't. You can't possibly do anything. But on that note, welcome back, guys. And if you're new, I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And this is the Night Owl Chicago, an all-inclusive podcast that talks about music, art, and life.
And everything in between.
So let's cheers our beers, Matt. Cheers our beers. Cheers to you guys. Let's get into it. So what do you got, Matt? Any hot gossip, juicy gossip stories?
Yeah, I thought I'd just kind of piggyback on what you were going to roll into this here Sunday.
Speaking of roll.
Speaking of roll.
Do you guys like marijuana? I do.
Well, we...
Introducing 93 Boys. Who's the 93 Boys? Well, I will tell you. The 93 Boys, they are a... I have it on my phone. They are a collective. They basically started becoming a collective of owners, investors that started their own cannabis brand, and they're all Black, which is great. I think the farmers are probably Black too.
Well,
it says that their mission is focused on giving back to the community. The brand was founded by Chicago-born musician and activist Vic Mensa. Do you know who that is?
No.
It says he had a vision of lifting the neighborhoods around him, like the South Side, West Side, while lifting spirits across the state. The vision paired with the heaviest, deadliest gas available anywhere is what fuels 93 Boys today. So it's 93 Boys with a Z. I think if you look them up on Instagram, it's all one word. Just, you know, the number 93, B-O-Y-Z. That's their Insta. So I told Matthew that my mom was away and going to Niagara Falls. So I stayed in Palatine and watched her apartment, and her neighbor had, you know, we had some weed. And so like, that was kind of where it came from Dispensary 33. They have two pre-rolls on the website. They don't have concentrates, vape pens, cartridges, edibles, anything like that. They just have two Jumpstart pre-roll joint, which is a sativa, at $19.99, which is $19. I don't even know if they actually tax it. Maybe
no, you're looking at Dispensary 33. That's the nice thing about their site is they include the tax when you are looking.
It's
at
probably $18.99 or something.
No, it's $19 here. They
have a pit stop pre-roll, which is a hybrid sativa indica blend, and it says no CBD is in any.
I think it's interesting that you came back with this bit of information here, especially you know, for those of our listeners here, we are in Illinois very specifically. It is not the same experience that it is in other states that currently enjoy legal recreational weed. I would say it's not good. It's a bit corrupt. So to see this kind of organization, to see a person of color that owns one of these businesses, because initially when this was, you know, presented to the citizens of Illinois, that this would be quite the opportunity, especially for people of color here to become business owners. And they really have been, that has not happened. So to be able to see something like this take off and to know that where this money is going to and what they're trying to accomplish, I'd say kudos. And I hope we get to see more of it, because honestly, it has not happened the way that we were told. With the number of these
people. No, it hasn't.
Here in Illinois, just to give, I think it's kind of interesting you bring this up. At least you have, you know, a website here, but just to give you a scoop here in Illinois.
Actually, let me go to the actual website while you talk.
The number of growers here is very limited. Matter of fact, it's only limited currently right now to it was about 4, but maybe 93 Boys here is maybe an addition to that and a welcomed addition, especially like we've mentioned here. Why do I think that it's a bit corrupt? Because one of the farms, and I'm going to name them Cresco. Cresco.
No disclaimer.
Has ties to our current governor.
Really? Well, how was that not surprising?
They are married. It is somehow our Governor Pritzker is married into the Cresco farm here, which is one of the growers. Well, it's not bad. You know, we were promised, you know, a lot of variety and so a lot of opportunity. Nothing's been done. And nothing has been
like
done.
Like what Biden's doing. Just saying it and then nothing
We have happens. A lot of high taxes, although if you go ahead and have the medical card, that I think it reduces that. But the prices here are outrageous to the point where this person, I would go to Michigan. Michigan has done it right. Or if you've been out to California or Oregon or to the state of Washington, you know, those prices are really good. They are not good in Illinois, very expensive. And again, that's partly because, again, like I said, they have limited who they have allowed. They've limited, again, the stores that are here. It is not, I mean, you go to, remember when we were in Portland, I mean, you could trip and fall over the different stores that were open to this.
Yes.
That sold recreational medical.
Weren't they the first? Or
that is not the case here at all in Illinois. So to be able to see something like this, I would say, I'm willing to support this. Absolutely. And hopefully something does change. Otherwise, you know, I would say if you ever get a chance, go to Michigan.
So it says jumpstart. It says you can grab what you need to grab. Are you grabbing? Okay.
No.
Okay. It says when you're looking to accelerate your productivity, reach for the sativa leaning blend and strap in. Elevate your state, your mental state, and gain the clarity and focus you need for the task at hand. So this literally means like you can get shit done. Jumpstart.
Well,
I'm not gonna necessarily
get in, but there is some argument to say there's not really much of a difference.
I can tell.
But there is a
difference. I have ADHD.
Here.
I can tell.
You know, like
indica
they say,
puts me to
right?
sleep.
Put you in the couch, right? As
in
I said.
The couch. So it says, however fast you're moving, this is for pit stop. Should always take a moment to relax, rest, and I like the names. They're really creative, you know. Says this hybrid blend lets you take a beat while still keeping your energy up. So then it says burnout. Burnout says the indica. That's a good name. Our indica leaning blend is prime for those night and weekends when it's time to tune out, hit the couch, lock in, or vibe out. So if you're a high energy person and you need to turn the
voices
off,
so if you're tired here of Verona or Cresco or the farms or the opportunity that we've only had here. 93 Boys is something new, and I would look for them at your dispensaries.
I think that these all have CBD, not the Jumpstart and Pit Stop, but Burnout has CBD as well. So, I mean, people sometimes prefer CBD over melatonin.
Let's support our communities. Those of you that definitely
they partner with Save Money Save Lives, a Chicago-based Native and Black-led nonprofit advocating for sustainable change. Through this partnership, 93 Boys will sponsor initiatives aimed at prison reform and equity in the cannabis space. So that's their mission. So I put the website in the comments on our YouTube. So yeah, you guys should check them out. And I think it's really important to be able to support each other. You don't have to be black or brown to do this. You just have to like smoke weed and you want to help people. And why not? That's what the weed business was basically created on.
Rise up, Illinois smokers.
It was created on.
Speaking of rise up again, that's another one of those farms. So let's do 93 Boys.
All right. So it says the next topic, if you guys missed it, Matthew missed it, but I watched it. So I'm sorry, Matthew, there might be some spoilers in here.
That's okay.
But I watched last night on Comedy Central, the South Park 25th anniversary concert. And it was epic. This picture doesn't even do it justice. Like, really? I mean, really, it doesn't. It says Matt Stone is on the left. Trey Parker performed original music from the iconic TV show South Park at South Park. The 25th anniversary I mean, how fitting. I mean, really. Like, this is happening. The weed's happening. Art is coming back. What's going on, Matthew? What's going on? It says it was at the amphitheater in the Red Rocks on the 10th in Morrison, Colorado. The night featured many of the cartoon's beloved characters, sets like rock bands and Primus and Ween, and surprise appearances by Rush and Governor Jared Polis. So I'll put the article in here, but I'm just going to talk about my
perspective. If you don't know who their governor is, he is extremely progressive, and I might be wrong, but I think maybe we should look that up first before I say that.
What?
I thought he was gay.
Who cares?
It doesn't matter, but that's what I'm saying. He's
very
progressive.
What makes you think he's gay?
I think he's come out as that because when, remember what Florida did with DeSantis and the Don't Say Gay bill. He came out strong against
that. So it's not like ally. It's like,
yeah,
it's like
he's basically like, hey, Disney.
Or maybe World, bi or
remember
whatever.
When Disney World went against them? He's like, you can always come to Colorado because, you know.
So he could just be queer as fuck.
Yeah, no, he seems very, he's a very cool governor. So that does not surprise me that he would take part in with South Park, which.
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, Matthew, it was epic. They all had their own instruments. They all, no one, there wasn't one electronic piece of equipment. I mean, everything was on amps. Yeah, sure. But like, it was fucking so dope. Like, it was like being in a jam band concert. And then, plus South Park. I mean, it felt so.
I mean, and if you have anybody listening or has ever had a chance to go to the Red Rocks amphitheater there, it is just a beautiful setting.
In my opinion, I think that this is, they're going to put, that South Park is going to come to an end and they're just going to keep doing these. I think they're going to make them live now. I mean, why not? They could still do it, but maybe it would just be a summer thing that they do every year. It doesn't,
I don't
know
if this would necessarily come back
it.
Again. I don't know if they would come back. I mean, this was I don't know.
10 episodes? 10
so
seasons?
This was just in celebration of them being around. Was there also another motive for this, such as they were donating anything or money?
It had surprise guest appearances, Geddy Lee and Alec Lifeson, and a Rush, Governor Jared Polis. I don't know. It says there was nothing short of epic. And an apparent for a milestone that creators admittedly never thought they'd reach.
Boy,
to be
boy.
Honest, I never thought
designating we'd... August 10th there as South Park Day. That's amazing.
Yeah, so like you're reading ahead, Matthew. It says, to be honest, I never thought they'd get on TV, let alone take over the world with it. Primus frontman Les Claypool told the Denver Post, and Stone agreed. We got to do 6 episodes after we made the pilot episodes, and it kind of didn't work. I really specifically remember that every script, when I was finished writing the script, I hole punched it and put it in notebooks. It's like forever I'll have these notebooks up on a shelf, these 6 scripts that will be so cool to have. And now it would be like 365 binders, so I stopped doing it. Like, he still didn't stop. He stopped that late. Couldn't make the concert, no sweat, filming of the, and so it says it's going to be again on the 13th. So yesterday it would have come out. And from, I don't know what I'm, when.
And then on Paramount Plus, if you don't know, the new home of South Park.
Which is so dumb. I don't want to get Paramount just to watch it.
Man,
it should be everywhere. So you guys can kind of see the visuals. They had lots of stuff on the rocks in the background, which I think they do for every concert. They had huge screens that looked 8K. I mean, they looked ridiculous. You could, when you were like close enough to it and the camera worked, you could see that it was pixelated, but like, or that the screens were like projector screens, but they had like screens over screens over screens. And then they had the big like TVs on each side for the band, so they could do close-ups of the band. But just the camera sweeps, the camera work, like everything, it was so beautiful. Everything worked, not just the main people that were there, but everyone who put their work into it. Like, oh my goodness. So yeah, I mean, I'll put the article in the comments. You guys can kind of read it for yourself, because it's kind of a docu article. The Denver Post wrote it first, and I think it's going to trickle down to other, magazine or newspaper websites. But okay, so this is like look at that screen. I mean, come on. That's a picture of a screen with moving parts. And it looks that good. I might be an idiot. I just think it looks great. I think, I don't know. I mean, it was so great. And then they had like the people that did sound effects, like the women that did the choir or chorus, they were all wear something based on the theme. So they would constantly be changing the sets too. So like,
that's pretty impressive.
So like sometimes they were wearing like flannels in the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And near the end, they were wearing winter coats and a hat and stuff. And like everyone worked so hard on that. I mean, really, it's. Yeah, he said, this is one of the most amazing moments of my life. Matt Stone is one of the most amazing moments of your life. Look at who's standing in front of you. It's Geddy and Alex. That's funny. So, yeah.
And I'm sure it'll probably rebroadcast on Comedy Central multiple times. So, yeah, I would definitely check this out, even if you're not necessarily a fan of it. It looks pretty cool if you're a fan of some of those musicians there, as far as, you know, Primus, like Les Claypool on the bass there, or Rush. Absolutely.
So now we're have someone a little dark here.
We're taking a turn.
So brace
we're
yourself, taking ladies. A turn. Go get a snack or a shot or something. Let's have another cheers. For me, it's happy news, but whatever.
No, never take light in somebody's demise like that.
I won't, but you know. I mean, wouldn't you be sad if Charlie Sheen died? No. I'm not, like, happy. I'm just, like, relieved because, like, Olivia Newton-John died. No. We had two other people die within, like, the last 2 months.
It would indicate that these people meant something within your life to say that you had those kind of thought-provoking thoughts on their demise or their end or their anything. They didn't mean anything. No, they didn't mean anything to me. I have no thoughts on this other than, you know, again, foolishly or whatever you want to say, somebody has ended their life early. Or earlier than maybe
it was her fault. She drank and drove very bad. Like she was fucking.
I am just grateful for the fact that no one else was
hurt,
injured.
I mean, when people were in the house, like I don't. So it says that she's being okay. So if you guys didn't know, Anne Hage is a celebrity. I don't know what the fuck she does. Matthew can fill in the blanks. But she went out with Ellen DeGeneres, pretty much right after Ellen came out, which was really, really vulnerable time for anyone who's gay or queer to come out because now you're in love.
Yes,
you sit to think about someone else.
If you remember that there in the 90s, it was unheard
of.
Yeah,
her network disowned her because she was gay.
She had a TV series and she came out shortly thereafter and they pretty much ended it.
Yeah, and then she had her, and then this was before her show too. This is before her show.
Yeah.
She was still appearing in shows, other shows as a guest. Like, you know, to like,
so,
she was still acting.
I mean, and now, I mean, look at where
and
we
then
are.
I don't know what has happened between then and now. I don't know. Matthew said she dated Coleman Lafoon, I guess, or was with him.
Well,
I guess.
If you don't remember, she kind of felt then confused. She wasn't sure if she was
a lesbian, she knew she was just scared. She was just scared. Maybe that's why she drank.
And I think if you've taken a look, you would understand she was just very confused her entire life and never understood who she was or comfortable with who she was.
And the good thing about out of all of this is that she's giving her organs to someone. Someone's getting her organs. So they're on the list to get a celebrity's organ. So I mean, I'm hoping they won't give her the liver because she's an alcoholic. But you know, I never knew if you could even still give your organs when you're in a coma. For some reason, I thought like you couldn't give any, like your body's not working anymore.
Well, they're still functioning.
But they're
it
still
depends
functioning.
On what it,
they're
what,
just not turned
they
on.
Are,
they're like
yeah.
plugged in, but they're not turned on. Does that make sense?
So
that makes sense to me.
No, no one has heard obviously the news here.
So talk about what happened recently, because there. Oh, I'll show the video.
You know,
I'm gonna show the YouTube video.
There is live video of her, and apparently the day of or the morning of, she was on, you know, either her own channel or she was TikToking. I don't know what she was doing, you know, but she was basically indicating that she probably had things in her system. And then a short time after getting off of that,
was it TikTok?
Or within something like that, you see this, somebody had filmed it. It was either from like the Ring.
So she's died. She's dead. Already.
Yeah, she passed.
So they took her off life support. She basically was like very drunk, and you know, no one actually stopped her because she had this interview. She was like, or she wasn't an interview, but she was talking to people. I can't find the one. They probably removed it because there was a video of. You said there was one of her being drunk. Was she talking to paparazzi?
No, she was just on her own.
Oh,
thing,
and they removed that. They removed
yeah,
it. It's
they
not
removed
there.
That. Yeah.
They don't want you to see that. Well, let's see if I can do paparazzi because
no, what is available is obviously the Ring video that shows her flying past at an extreme rate of speed.
Look at how bad she looks just a year ago. I mean, she looks awful. Like, look at this. I'm not making fun, I'm just saying, like, observation.
All right, we're having a little question and answer period on Better Together with Anne and Heather. Here we go. All right, these are questions that have come up because we had our little chit chat about Ellen the other day.
Well, let's just be honest. I've never been asked any questions about my time then or my time now until now. So this is a very unique moment for me where I'm grateful that people are curious. I'm grateful to you, Perez, for doing this because what it does is bring me into a place that is comfortable in its truth, but uncomfortable in its vulnerability because I've never been asked these questions before. And I've always wondered if there would come a moment. And now is the moment, and I'm appreciative. So I will answer as honestly as I can and also say,
I mean, she looks terrible. She looks tired. She's only 52 in that in this. I mean, I don't know. I mean, she looks like she's really scared. Like there's something
that I am digesting the fact that this door has opened to me for the first time. And it's a vulnerable feeling. So a lot is being unpacked, as you've said. And so I want to be delicate in my answer and also let everyone know that I'm not here to do any Ellen bashing. I am here to speak the truth about a time that happened that's important to know. Okay.
Hmm. Question.
Did you ever try to reach out and make peace with Ellen?
You know, every day of my life with her was reaching out to her to make peace. I think it was a very...
I will agree with that. She did reach out to her a lot. And there was a lot of snarky back and forth comments from her, from Ellen. Because I don't know if there was anything else that's happened. Like, she said there was something happened, right, when she was dating her. So I don't know if, like, maybe Ellen showed her true colors and she was like, oh, I don't... She just, maybe she played the confused card that she wasn't gay or she didn't know she was. Maybe it was something else.
I would say maybe that's the case that they both got exposed. Ellen.
I think Ellen didn't want her to expose anything. And that's why she broke up with her.
No, I would say Ellen probably realized who she was or who she was not. And Ellen being who she really is, that.
But it doesn't mean that she wasn't hiding anything else throughout Ellen getting older. Because, like, you date someone, I don't even know how long they dated for.
I mean, is the secret that Ellen's kind of a cunt? Is that the idea, right?
Maybe, or, like, her treatment of others or something. Maybe it's all up front now. Maybe she's bitter.
Kind of rude
to people. Maybe she's losing that touch, you know, that she's
had. But at the same time, she may have seen who...
But she also has a right to be like that. She's rich and she's been through shit. Like, sorry. People can like it or they don't, right?
Oh, woman, people like
could
I know.
Fall in love with a woman,
but she still has people working for her.
I think that was a lot to process, so I tried to make that process as simple as possible by quitting Hollywood, moving to Ojai, growing gardens, starting to write and direct, which I did with her and Sharon Stone, a movie of all things called Misconception, and nothing would satisfy her soul.
Rumors Ellen was far from nice were out there for years. What was your reaction to the toxic workplace controversy?
I felt that it was in the hands of the people who needed to speak their truth. I hadn't spoken to Ellen in years.
Gordon, again, this was a year ago. So remember when that all came out about the workplace?
Yeah, it came out during the pandemic, especially during the pandemic. And
Anna Hayes
said
that she'd seen that already before.
Yeah, but it looks like she's going
to
take the high road on this question.
Not saying anything. Yeah, she's like, no comment.
Did the stuff about her being emotionally abusive to her staff ring true to you?
Emotionally abusive is a container for our actions that we've not healed. And unfortunately,
I am an asshole because she's like, Aunt Asia's got it. She's got it this time. Like, because there have been weird things. Like you said, maybe she was reacting and acting out and being.
Like I said,
maybe she's gone just, through a lot. Maybe Aunt Asia has some mental issues. Maybe she's got like
she's
something
struggled
going on.
Again
she's
with
struggling.
Who she is and comfortable with.
And
who
not,
she
maybe
is
not
being.
Even just her sexuality, but like in general.
Just in general.
Yeah, and that's why she drank.
Yeah.
Because she just wanted to like escape it. Sorry if you guys are those stupid dogs outside, but anyway, so like, I mean, pain comes from pain, and you could reflect that or project that onto someone else, even if they don't deserve it. I mean, I'm all for like, you know, you can act how you want. I'm not, you know, I mean, I can't tell you what to do, but you have to be okay with what's going to happen for pushback or for reactions. I think responding is better than reacting because you have time to think about what you're going to say or do. And that doesn't make too big of a wave, you know, but she's taken the
high road. Abusive environment was something that I understood.
Yeah.
When did you know you needed to break things off with Ellen?
I think it was a slow roll when you come to understand the truth of another. I wanted desperately to have that relationship be the love of my life. That was my Cinderella story. What happened was that I was, through the circumstances, shut out from things that I cared about. And in order to make her feel that she was being loved, I would erase those things from my paths, such as acting, and replace them with things that I thought would give her a foundation. As we got further and further away from me being able to be in public the way that would please, I began getting further and further away from my friends and my friendships. And one of the things that concerned me very much was that I was beginning to feel shut off and shut down and shut away. And if this answers the question, and I told Ellen that I needed to have friends, she said she did not want to have a girlfriend that needed that. And that is the day I left.
You stood by.
Jerome, will repeat this because you left. So let me play this for you.
You have a girlfriend that needed. I told Ellen that I needed to have friends. She said she did not want to.
So
have...
basically what she's saying is Ellen abused her emotionally. That's what she's saying. Or psychologically, I guess, would be more of the controlling aspect. The
well, she's controlling.
Yeah, the emotional part is just like gaslighting and shit. But the psychology is, you know, you isolate and keep them in a little bubble and don't let them interact with anyone. And Anastasia's a celebrity. She was a celebrity before she met Ellen. That's not fair. You don't do that, especially with celebrities. They need to go out and about. They need to have friends. They need to leave the house for a bit. They need to have, like, Johnny Depp did the same thing, and Amber Heard did not like it. She did not want him to work. She didn't want him to leave. She wanted to go everywhere with him because she wanted to keep an eye on him. It wasn't about, oh, I love you. It was like, no, I control
it's
you.
It's a case of a controlling relationship.
I have a girlfriend
in the public
that needed
spotlight.
That.
And Hayesha's had abuse. She's had issues. Like, people that know that and they treat you like that, that means that they want to hurt you because they know that you've been treated like that in the past. They're like, oh, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to
take
the
day I left.
Or use it.
You stood by Ellen at such a tough time. After everything, do you wish you'd never supported her?
I wish I supported her bigger, stronger, better, greater. I was given an opportunity to speak on the steps in Washington at the Gay March on Washington and stand up for what I believe is our right to love without gender. And this is something that I wished that I could continue to say for the last 20 years by her side, on her arm, and I realized that she did not believe the same.
All right, well, there you have it, guys. That was a year before she died. So they're saying that she's donating her organs to, you know, to a recipient. I'm not going to go into, like, the deep dive of who it is and all of that. I mean, I'm an asshole. I just always thought she was, like, just like that. But if she's, there's so much more depth to her. Humans are complex creatures. I take what I said back. She's very similar to people I talk to every day. Like as far as how her mentality is and how she responds maturely to gossip and hearsay and, you know, enough to also connect the dots and say, well, I didn't say that, but you did. But yeah,
she was
maybe
genuine.
There's some. Yeah. She
I mean,
was
like I said, she was genuine. She was genuine in understanding where her struggles were. And she was real about that.
Yeah. So I think that that's a really great idea that, she did that interview. I'm not going to show. I mean, now I just feel bad. I don't think I even want to show that video because of her. It's so nerve wracking and kind of scary. And it really just kind of shows like this weird thing about how mental illness obviously can control your life. It can be from internally. Like euphoria, where it's more like, you know, being born, or the other extreme of like severe psychological, emotional, physical, or all of those, abuse to yourself or others or whatever, and then using the substances to try to correct or stabilize or hide with, and not take care of it. So like, or even if you get therapy, you can have therapy your whole life and still be a fucked up or whatever. I mean, it's still. Sometimes you even have to go to the right therapist. Like, it's a lot. So, yeah, you guys, I know we ended on a sad note, but did you have anything else you want to talk about?
Maybe to at least get this back up into
a left turn here?
And back up into a stratosphere maybe that isn't necessarily positive, but more creepy. Far as maybe even in the lines of a what you watch, and maybe that's a good thing to kind of end on here. I have started to watch a series, although it dates back to 2017, on the History Channel about a certain theory regarding Jack the Ripper.
Damn. Okay.
and the ties, I guess that's maybe a good way to end this, right? Because you started with something Chicago-based. Let's end this with something Chicago-based. So currently playing on Hulu and the History Channel is called American Ripper. It explores the idea or the possibility that one Henry Holmes or Henry H. Holmes or H.H. Holmes, if you do not know who that is, he is one of America's most infamous and first documented serial killers. He had a murder house here on the south side of Chicago.
Damn.
And the theory is that he was Jack the Ripper.
Damn.
So I'm a few episodes in, and they go from it from the fact that they his great-great-grandson is part of this investigation, and he's looking into this theory, which he believes. And this grandson is basically trying to look at evidence and say, this proves it, this proves it. The way I watch it is, does this evidence disprove? Can it prove the fact that he was not him? And so far, it's been interesting. I would say there's a possibility, if not a real possibility, that they could be right. But I've not finished it all. We'll see what it concludes. It's been out for a while. I am always fascinated by kind of the idea of the serial killer and the crimes. And this, it's an interesting theory.
Matthew and I are huge murderinos.
You know, especially
for different reasons, but you know,
with a local tie like this, you know, if you've ever gotten a chance to read A Devil in the White City, which is about him, and supposedly, you know, Martin Scorsese and Leo have gotten together and they want to actually produce maybe their movie or a short series based on that book. That has not come to fruition yet. I don't even know if that's even come even further in light other than the idea was posted out there. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I've been in. And oh, I guess I would say if you've got Hulu and you're watching,
hella,
get a chance to watch that new Prey movie, the new Predator movie. And I would recommend that.
Oh, that's awesome. I think we're going to watch it right now, just kind of to see how it looks. I mean, Matt's watching. This is going to be the second time, but I'm excited because it's kind of very similar to, in my mind, Apocalypto meets, you know, obviously the Predator. So, I mean, it'll be kind of cool for me because I like both those movies. I like all the Predator and Alien and stuff. I'm a sucker for those. I mean, partly because they're kind of cheesy, but kind of not. So, all right, guys. Well, we love you so much. We want to tell you that I think we'll be linking up with the Not So Late Night live stream, Not So Late Night live stream show next week, or maybe in September. I think we're going to maybe end this season, which I think is great. We've done like 10 episodes with them. I've done maybe more than that for production for them. And I think that they really reached new heights now, which is great. So yeah, Matthew and I will continue ours. We'll probably just do audio. Keep doing the audio ones, and you guys can like always watch it whenever you want. Be sure to share it with your friends. We're on pretty much any platform that you can get podcasts, but we are the biggest and most friendliest and most famous on Pandora. So I would suggest going to Pandora. It's free to sign up. And if not, you guys can go to our WordPress. The WordPress is in, it's actually has links to our podcast, which goes to our Anchor one, which is free. And what else? Email us if you guys have stories, if you have topics you want us to talk about. Our email is thenightowlchicago@gmail.com. You can be anonymous or not. And then check out our Facebook, Insta, and Twitch, and YouTube. I think that's about it. We're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
Just always type in The Night Owl Chicago because there is another Night Owl podcast. We're the Chicago one.
We're Chicago.
We're the cooler one.
We're the cooler one. We're everything in between.
So we're sounding off. I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to
The Night Owl.
Yeah. What?